Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 6, Text Number 13. The demigods and demons declare a truce. Tam tvam vayam nata samujihanam. Tam tvam vayam nata samujihanam. Tam tvam vayam nata samujihanam. Sarojana bhati chiripsitartam. Sarojana bhati chiripsitartam. Sarojana bhati chiripsitartam. Sarojana bhati chiripsitartam. Dristvagata nivritam adya sarve. Nivritam adya sarve, dristvagata nivritam adya sarve. Gata nivritam adya sarve, gajadavarta iva gangamambaha. Gajadavarta iva gangamambaha. Gajadavarta iva gangamambaha. Tam, O Lord, Tvam, Your Lordship, Vayam, all of us, Nata, O Master, Samujihanam, now appearing before us, with all glories, Sirojanapa, O Lord, whose navel resembles a lotus flower, or from whose navel grows a lotus flower. Atichira, for an extremely long time. Ipsita, desiring. Artam, for the ultimate goal of life. Dristva, seeing. Gataha, in our vision. Nivritam, transcendental happiness. Adya, today. Sarve, all of us. Gaja, elephants. Davaarta, being afflicted in a forest fire. Iva, like. Gangam Amba, with water from the Ganges. Translation: elephants afflicted by a forest fire become very happy when they get water from the Ganges. Similarly, O my Lord, from whose navel grows a lotus flower, since you have now appeared before us, we have become transcendentally happy. By seeing your lordship, whom we have desired to see for a very long time, we have achieved our ultimate goal in life. Please repeat. Elephants afflicted by a forest fire become very happy when they get water from the Ganges. Similarly, O my Lord, from whose navel grows a lotus flower. Since you have now appeared before us, we have become transcendentally happy. By seeing your lordship, whom we have desired to see for a very long time, we have achieved our ultimate goal in life. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The devotees of the Lord are always very eager to see the Supreme Lord face to face, but they do not demand that the Lord come before them. For a pure devotee considers such a demand to be contrary to devotional service. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches this lesson in his Sikshastakam. adarshanam marmahatam karotuva. The devotee is always eager to see the Lord face to face, but if he is broken-hearted because he cannot see the Lord, even life after life, he will never command the Lord to appear. This is a sign of pure devotion. Therefore, in this verse, we find the word ati chira ipsita artam, meaning that the devotee aspires for a long, long time to see the Lord. If the Lord, by his own pleasure, appears before the devotee feels extremely happy, as Dhruva Maharaj felt when he personally saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When Dhruva Maharaj saw the Lord, he had no desire to ask the Lord for any benediction. Indeed, simply by seeing the Lord, Dhruva Maharaj felt so satisfied that he did not want to ask the Lord for any benediction. Svamin kritartosmi varam naya che. A pure devotee, whether able or unable to see the Lord, always engages in the Lord's devotional service, always hoping that at some time the Lord may be pleased to appear before him so that he can see the Lord face to face. Om Agyanatimarandhasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahiyam Dadati Sapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prachadane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatanane Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangol Dungayate Girim Yat Kripastamaham Bande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Vanchakapatarubhyascha kripasindubhayevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, 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 Hare Hare. So Lord Brahma is speaking here, and we're continuing these beautiful verses. I wanted to ask permission and blessings from all of the devotees who are really more qualified than I am to be sitting here speaking today. And I really also wanted to offer my deep gratitude to this beautiful temple and the devotees who are working so hard to serve here, manage and serve in so many ways. I was thinking that, there have been so many incarnations of management in this temple. And we heard this morning that good management follows good preaching. So maybe that's the secret of what's going on here so beautifully. I was thinking how Prabhupada would be so pleased that there thousands of people coming at night, every night, offering these deepas. And then they leave them all over the place. And then when you wake up in the morning to come to the temple, they're all gone. And everything is spotless, like it never happened. And you're thinking, was it a dream that this happened last night? So magical. I want to thank all of you so much. The managers, the pujaris, the cooks, the book distributors, the amazing people who are keeping this temple so clean. Super thanks to all the cleaners. I mean, Prabhupada's samadhi is so spotless. It's such a joy and a delight to come here. So thank you all so much. So in this verse, this is really the cherry on the cake, you could say. This is the ultimate goal of human achievement that we're hearing about here, to see the Lord face to face. So we're instructed that when we approach a spiritual master tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. We should approach in a mood of humility and sincere inquiry. And in the same way, when we approach the holy name, we have to approach the holy name really like a beggar, that I have no qualification. What is my qualification? Please accept me, please accept me. In the same way, when we approach the holy Dham, when we come to Vrindavan, we're instructed to come to Vrindavan in the mood of a Krura, who is just offering obeisances in the dust of Vrindavan again and again, seeing the footprints of Krishna and Balaram. So this is the mood that that attracts the attention of the Lord. We're told that we should, that darshan means really to be seen. We want to do something so that the Lord will notice us and see us. We come to see the Lord, but we also, more than anything, we want to be seen by the Lord. We want to be accepted by the Lord, to come closer to the lotus feet of the Lord. In our literature, the Goswamis describe that the clouds that float over Vrindavan are actually foreigners. They're not residents of Vrindavan. So they're like us. We're outsiders, actually. We're not actually residents of Vrindavan yet, although we desire to be. So we're like these clouds. We're like these foreigners. And the clouds come in and they do a little service. They drift over Krishna and Balaram while they're playing, and they give them a little nice shade. So while they're playing, they're not under the hot sun. So we can follow the example of the clouds and think in a humble mood that I'm just a foreigner, really. I was thinking it's almost like we're refugees. We're refugees from these war-torn countries in the material world. And we're seeking permanent asylum in Sri Vrindavan Dham. You know, we're seeking that. We're beggars, really. And we're seeking that asylum at the lotus feet of Radha Shyam, Krishna Balaram, and Gaur Nitai. So the highest goal of achievement, to see the Lord face to face, this is what has been achieved by Dhruva Maharaj, Narada, Prahlad Maharaj. But it takes, the verse itself in the purport, it says it takes the word in the translation, and in the purport Prabhupada explains that it takes a long, long time. It takes a lot of patience. And what does it mean to be patient? We have to wait, but what do we do while we wait? We can be so patient, so complacent, that we don't even really care if we ever see Krishna face to face. Or on the other hand, we can be demanding and arrogance, like the atheists, show me. I want to see. If there's God, show me God. So we have to approach in the mood of a humble theist, That just begging, that let me be seen, let my little service be seen, and one day, if you so desire, then maybe, my Lord, you will show your face to me. In the last few days, we've been hearing about Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, how he was so humbly crying in separation, just crying out and wandering through the 12 forests of Vrindavan, crying out to Krishna, begging for Krishna's mercy. We've also heard the wonderful story of Srila Prabhupada so secretly in the dead of night sweeping the courtyard of the Radha Damodar temple, and how he was crying, "Hey Gurudev, hey Rup, hey Sanatan, please give me your mercy. How can I execute my mission if you don't give me your mercy?" So this is the mood of devotion that will actually attract the attention of the Lord, not never demanding, never commanding, in an arrogant mood. Srila Prabhupada was once asked, how do we become Krishna conscious? And he said so beautifully, he said, by your anxiety. Just imagine, by your anxiety, your longing. This is the ticket, right? Lalyam, lalasamayi, to long for Krishna, to long for his service. in the mood of these great devotees. Narottam Das Thakur, in the song we sang the other day, he says, "I will smash my head against stone in separation from these his dearmost friends and mentors and gurus and Lord Chaitanya himself, who he never saw." And I always think it's an important point that one of the greatest acharyas in our line never himself saw Lord Chaitanya personally. He came after the time of Lord Chaitanya. So how empowered so many of you can become. Although maybe you never saw Prabhupada, maybe you feel like crying that you never got to see Prabhupada, but maybe you'll be the ones, more than Prabhupada's own disciples, to spread this movement all over the world and all over the universe. So this is the mood. And this anxiety, it's so interesting because this anxiety of the devotee to attain to Krishna's lotus feet, to one day see Krishna face to face, this is so much beyond the shanti shanti of the yogis, right? The yogis want to be all shanti shanti. But look at Mother Yasoda and how she's perspiring and how she's struggling so hard to get Krishna to be bound up with ropes, right? And even Kunti Devi, the great Kunti Devi, in her prayers in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, she's bewildered thinking of the example of Mother Yashoda. She says, "Gopya de twayi krita gasi dhammata vad." She says, "Although fear personified is afraid of you, my dear Lord, still you are afraid of Mother Yasoda and her rope, afraid to be bound by the rope of Mother Yasoda." So this anxiety, this is the beautiful mood of Krishna consciousness. Devotees are eager, but don't demand, don't try to command the Lord. Keep aspiring for a long, long, long time. So I wanted to read you something very beautiful from Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur. If you're a good listener and you have the patience to, it's not so long, but it's beautiful because he's sort of posing the question. You know how he does in his purports? So this is from Sarartha Darshini, his purports to the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he's sort of posing the question, isn't there another way? Does it have to be so slow? And does it have to take such a long, long time? So here's what he says. He's posing the question as though a devotee is asking that question. And he says, "My dear brother, you are not expert in understanding spiritual moods. Please listen. It is at night that the sunrise becomes attractive. During the hot summer, that cold winter gives comfort. And during the cold winter months, that warm water is pleasing. Lamplight appears attractive in darkness, not in the glaring light of the day. And one is distressed by hunger. Food tastes especially good. In other words, in order to strengthen the devotee's mood of dependence on him and longing for him, the Lord arranges for his devotees to go through some suffering, and when he appears in order to deliver them, their gratitude and transcendental pleasure are boundless." Isn't that beautiful? From our great Acharya Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur. So we hear, have you heard this term before? Deserve and desire. First, we have a desire, but first we have to deserve the fruit of that desire. So we hear about the bhakti creeper, right? There's a little seed and a little plant grows, and we try to avoid the offenses, the weeds. But then ultimately that creeper grows up to Krishna Loka, up to the lotus feet of Krishna, and bears beautiful fruits and fragrant flowers. So this is the pinnacle of Krishna consciousness, right? So we may desire this, we may long for this, but we have to deserve also by humble service, by submissive inquiry, by following the principles very carefully, by really delving and studying into Srila Prabhupada's books. I mean, really, Srila Prabhupada is available 24 hours a day. You can go and sit down with him in one of his books and ask him your questions, and he will answer. How beautiful is that? So yes, we have to hear, we have to study, we have to serve in a humble way, and then just beg for that, that one day Krishna may be pleased with our humble service. Just like an atheist may demand, right? Command, demand, command. But a humble theist, a true theist, humble theist is just offering my flower. Just every day I offer my flower. Krishna might appear and he might not appear, but every day I offer my flower, I offer my deepa. And this is true Krishna consciousness. The atheist like Hiranyakashipu, show me God, is your God in this pillar? And Prahlad, he's so innocent, you know, he's seeing God everywhere. Yes, Father, he's everywhere. I'm seeing him everywhere, but the atheist can't see him. The atheist is saying, God is dead, he's not here. Why don't you show me? Why don't you show me God? But God will show the atheist. He will have darshan of God. Even though he hasn't once bowed down in his life, he will be forced to bow down at the time of death, and he will see God at the time of death, maybe in a form that was not so adorable, maybe a form that he doesn't want to see, but he will be forced to bow down at the time of death. So yeah, I keep thinking of this line in the purport that the last line, always hoping that at some time the Lord may be pleased to appear before him so that he can see the Lord face to face, and that it takes a long, long time. So, yes, this is love, this mood of humility. And, you know, we used to say the Western world thinks like this and India thinks like that, but now India is following the West, so everyone's thinking in the same way. I want it fast, and I want it now, or I don't really want it at all. And I was coming to India, and someone said to me, oh, you're going to the land of the techies. I said, it used to be called the land of Dharma. So, but maybe it can be the land of the Dharmic techies. Right? But in any case, we're all following the West, and we all are spoiled by this really arrogance. Someone once called it a disease called affluenza. That we all have this disease of affluenza. We're so complacent. We want things cheaply. We want things easily, and we want it now. We want it fast. So. So this longing and separation, right? These are described as this union and separation. There are two banks on the river of love. So if love of Krishna is flowing like a river, then these two banks, union and separation, they make the river flow strongly so that the river keeps flowing. So this is Krishna's testing the devotees, make the devotees long in separation. In the prayer that Srila Prabhupada quotes in this purport, Adarsh from the last verse of Sikshastakam, Adarshanam Marmahatam Karotuva. This word marma is very interesting. In Ayurveda, this marma, these are marma points. Radharani is saying, you know just where to push, where you can kill me. You know just where to test me so that you can kill me, but I still worship you unconditionally. Even whether you're before me, present before me or not, I still love you unconditionally. Such beautiful love. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Actually, first I wanted to read something. This is very beautiful from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. Two things, actually. One from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati about this mood of humility. It's very short. Try to listen. It's hard to listen to reading, so try to tune in your ears. Krishna will be merciful to us, and we shall be blessed with the gift of devotion to his divine feet the very day that we are delivered from the evil desire of seeking advantages and honors from others. So this is humility. This is the mood of humility. And then from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Narada Muni is speaking. When humility or dānya fully matures, love unfolds without limit. And so we see humility and love acting in a relationship in which each is both cause and effect. So another almost kind of two banks of a river, humility and love causing the river to flow. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes these elements of pride, six elements of pride: illusion, deceit, pretense, arrogance, deviousness, and offenses. And he gives an example of demons that Krishna killed here in Vrindavan who exemplify these different elements of pride. So illusion, set to be satisfied, complacent with material accomplishments, that's exemplified by Shakatasura. You know, he was the cart demon, he had all those pots, he had all his stuff. You know how we all have so much stuff and we're attached to all our pots and all our stuff? So that's Shakatasura. Then deceit, where we're satisfied with externals of spiritual life, our dress. I'm a brahmachari. Even though I want to get married, I can't get married because I have to have the status of a brahmachari. Something like that, right? The externals of spiritual life, the dress, high birth. This is Trinavarta, flying high in the sky. But actually his mentality is almost like a vulture, just to kill, right? Then pretense, to cultivate a desire for something else in practical devotional service. So this is exemplified by the Yamal Arjun trees, right? They had so much access. They could have had, in the heavenly planets, they could have had devotional service, but they wanted to be drunk and dancing with women naked. So they were misusing their high birth, right? Ignorance, to forget one's spiritual identity, to be crooked and devious. Kaliya, snake, right? Of course, he wasn't killed by Krishna. His wives, they didn't really mind if he got killed, but then when they noticed that his heart was starting to surrender to Krishna, they began to pray for him. So Krishna said, all right, get out of Vrindavan, but he didn't kill him because he was prayed for by his wives who were all Vaishnavis. Then deviousness, have some other motivation which might arise in our hearts. Aristasura, right? He comes and he just wants to harm, he wants to kill, he wants to destroy. And then just in general, offenses to the holy name, to devotees, pride in our position in Varnashram. So this is exemplified by the Yajnik Brahmins, right? They were so proud of their vast learning, but they didn't know that when Krishna and Balaram are hungry in the forest, they should give some of the remnants of the sacrifice. But their wives, who were illiterate, they knew what should be done. And then the Brahmins are saying, oh, to hell with our learning, to hell with our high birth. And they realize how their wives were really, in a sense, their own gurus. They had so much to learn from their own wives, right? So, so we're told not to demand, not to command God in an arrogant mood, in a complacent mood. And we've talked about so many things. Just to review a little bit, we talked about being a beggar, coming to the holy name as a beggar, talked about humility, talked about lalyam, or longing for Krishna. We talked about this mood of separation that the great devotees feel in their longing separation. We talked about deserve and then desire. How about we have to follow the principles very, very closely and study Srila Prabhupada's books. Actually, someone said, it's very beautiful that if you're looking through a telescope trying to see the sky or see the moon or the stars, and if your telescope is dirty, what are you going to be able to see? You know? So we have to really think about that. If my heart is dirty and I'm thinking, oh, I want to see Krishna, how will I ever be able to see Krishna without cleansing my heart, without cleansing the mirror of the heart? It said also that if we're disturbed by every little rub, then how will our hearts, how will the mirror of our hearts be polished, right? So we talked about so many things. And first of all, there's this point about not commanding God, not demanding from God. But it's kind of interesting because when you come to Vrindavan, you see the residents of Vrindavan, they're all demanding from God. They're commanding God. So they're, because they've given up all selfish motivations, they can come to the point of considering Krishna to be their very own friend or their very own child or their very own lover. And Krishna, in fact, becomes a prisoner of the love of such devotees. He's a prisoner of their love. He can't leave. He can't ever leave their love. Even if he leaves Vrindavan, he's still crying for Vrindavan and the residents of Vrindavan while he sits in his palace in Mathura or Dwarka. So it's interesting, and this idea of we can't command, we can't demand, but look at the cowherd boys. Mother Yasoda is calling Krishna to come in from to have lunch, and the cowherd boys are telling Krishna, if you leave our game now, we're not going to let you play again. Or they say to him, what kind of a big man are you? You know, and they just jump on his back. So these are the cowherd boys, demanding and commanding. And then we have Mother Yasoda. She says, open your mouth. I want to see if you've eaten any dirt. And stand here and stop stealing. You're lying and stealing. And she's ordering him and commanding him. And then Nanda Maharaj, he says to Krishna, please bring my slippers. And little Krishna comes holding Nanda Maharaj's slippers on his head. And then what to speak of the gopis, how they demand, they command, but they accuse also. What kind of a lover are you? You break our pots. You break our hearts. You steal our clothes. And then in the Gopi Gita they say, you're killing your maidservants who've given themselves to you freely without any price? Isn't this murder? They're accusing him of murdering them. So how accusatory they are. So again, this is the highest pinnacle of love, that we can come to Vrindavan to worship, to see this highest pinnacle of human achievement that's really not described in any other scriptures of the world, this kind of love where the devotee can be almost in the superior mood of love as a friend or as a parent or as a lover. So these are a few thoughts on this verse. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments or reflections? Yes, Prabhu? Yes, Prabhu?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much. So I understand the opinion you have about the cleanliness.
About what?
Cleanliness.
Cleanliness.
Very incredible. Very incredible. I am very impressed, you know. And the deity worship is incredible too. I'm very impressed. Mm-hmm. At least when I go to the West, I, you know, these remembrances, I can apply sort of this example that great devotees are giving in this administration. So the question is, if the Prabhupada say that the devotees are eager to see Krishna face to face. So sometimes we preach and then the people ask, are you see Krishna? So especially Christian, they say, nobody sees the Lord. So how we can get, you know, philosophically, can explain to them that you can see the Lord. So very difficult.
Yeah, it's interesting because when I was a child and I was going to a religious school, they told me, and I still remember, they told me in that religious school, there is a God, but you will never see him. You will never know him. You will never experience him. And I was so disappointed, you know. But here we're told, and you know, Prabhupada would be asked this question sometimes. Sometimes he would be asked, are you seeing God? And Srila Prabhupada would so beautifully answer every question according to the mentality with which it was asked. He was really answering the person's mentality. Once someone asked him in a very arrogant way, are you seeing God? And Prabhupada said, no, because you are standing in the way. And then another time, with great sincerity, someone asked Prabhupada, are you seeing God? And he reciprocated that sincerity, and he said, yes, you are also seeing God every day. You see the sunrise, you see the moonrise, you see you can taste him in the taste of water. This is experiencing God. Once he said in New York that even if a drunkard would remember that God is that taste that he's seeking in his wine, that even he could be Krishna, become Krishna conscious. So Prabhupada's so kindly, you know, what can we say? Prabhupada's given us the greatest gift that other traditions say is impossible. Prabhupada has given us the vision of the lotus face of God. He's given us the greatest gift. How can we ever repay him? We have to spend so many, many lives just trying to repay him in some small way, which we can never do. Are there any other questions or comments or reflections? Someone here? Let's have one lady. Prabhu, let's have one lady and then maybe one gentleman. We do that in the West.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much for this wonderful nectar. Really appreciate it. My question has two folds. You mentioned we have to deserve and then desire. How do we know that we deserve it? And the second part of it is, if we feel that we deserve it, isn't that like a sign of pride?
Yes, because a real devotee never feels like he deserves it. You know, when Lord Chaitanya is begging Haridas Thakur, don't leave me. Haridas Thakur wanted to leave this world. He didn't want to see the disappearance pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya is saying to him, Haridas, the emblem of humility, don't leave me. How can I live without you, Haridas? And Haridas never felt that he deserved it. He said, what is the difference if one insect leaves this world? Is there any, will the world be affected in any way? He was so humble. He never felt like he deserved. He never tried to barge into the temple at Jagannath Puri. Hey, I'm a pure devotee. Lord Chaitanya has recognized me as the Namacharya. You should let me in. Step aside, you puffed up guards who eat fish, by the way. You know, no. Did he ever do that? No. He was just humbly worshiping the chakra. So a real devotee never feels like I deserve. But sometimes Krishna recognizes that devotee, you know. So, yes. Thank you. I hope that helps. Yes. My old friend.
In your school, you indulge in the couldn't experience God. But this you came with Dharma, Kamapriya, Mahavish, and Sukadeva. My school in 1969, the adults couldn't experience God. Now I'm trying to give that opportunity to other people.
Thank you. Always so good to see you. Yeah, we came to his school, his high school in Laguna Beach, and did a program at the high school. And Badri Narayan, he wasn't Maharaj then. He was also coming to Krishna consciousness. So thank you for that nice memory. Just a second. This lady had a question first, I think, if we could bring the mic over to you. Sorry, the mic carriers are getting good exercise this morning. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Bhaktiji, for such a wonderful presentation. We are all here trying to come and take in this wonderful world of Krishna consciousness from all over the world. And we are struggling. It's not always so easy. And the mind can get so easily distracted and disturbed. And still we need to keep the focus, we need to keep the eye on the goal. How can we do that? How do we get a little bit detached from all these material obstacles that keep coming before us, keep raining before us, and keep the focus, keep the mind fully absorbed? That I need to do this, that I need to do this. We're so grateful to Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you. Thank you. That's a beautiful question. So place your own prayers from your heart. Repeat the prayers of great devotees. Do some humble service. Find some humble service you can do. There's four things, right? Sadhana. Make sure you're chanting your rounds properly, following the principles. Then there's sadhu sangha. Associate with devotees always, not only during Kartik and Vrindavan. Make sure you have some nourishing association when you go back home, wherever that is. Then what's third? Seva. Always find some seva. You can be helping to make those wicks at night with Pallavi. Where's Pallavi? And then the fourth one is sadachar. So if we have the first three, then what will happen is our qualities will be self-luminous when we go out into the world. And people in your office, or people in your laboratory, people in your courtroom, people in your school, your own children, your own husband, your own wife will say, wow, what is it about you? I need to learn from you. There's some secret that you need to share. And you can say, yeah, the secrets are there in Prabhupada's books. So that's one answer. I want to read something beautiful from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which illustrates this mood of humble prayer. Bear with me. This one's a little bit longer. Try to listen with your ears open. This is from Gitavali. O merciful Lord, this is my specific submission at your lotus feet. I do not ask for bodily happiness, knowledge, wealth, or followers. Let whatever attraction I presently have for material sense enjoyment be transformed into attraction and affection for your lotus feet. I pray not only that this affection for your lotus feet will remain unvarying in all circumstances of happiness and distress, but that day after day it continues to grow by the influence of chanting your holy names. And then finally he wraps it up so beautifully. He says, he's not even asking to go back to Godhead. He says, wherever I take birth, be it in the animal species, in the heavenly planets, or in hell, may a Haitiki Bhakti ever grace the heart of this servant. Isn't that beautiful? So nice. So I think, is there one more question? Okay. Yes, sorry. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Listen to what Rupa Goswami says. He's praying to Srimati Radharani. He says, I, a distressed soul belonging to you, beg you as a beggar. Rupa Goswami as a beggar. He says, I beg you with sweet words while rolling on the banks of the Yamuna. Although I am unfit, an offender with a crooked mind, please bestow on me a fragment of the gift of service to you. This unhappy soul is not to be neglected, fit to be neglected by you, for you have a butter-soft heart that melts constantly by the warmth of your compassion. Jai. So I beg to say that we always remain a beggar at the feet of the holy name, at the feet of Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. Thank you all so much. Hare Krishna.